Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27, we are on part two of this particular chapter. Remember, I got excited and kept going. Go straight. I got particularly excited about this one and made a sermon that's a little too long. It's right in front of you. So, you get a part one and a part two. Yay! Genesis chapter 27. We're going to start by reading in verse 26. Just to remind you of where we are. Let's back up and go ahead and read from verse 18. We're going to read from verse 18 to the end of the chapter, just to remind you of where we are. Isaac has said he would bless Esau. Esau has gone out to the field to hunt. Jacob and Rebekah have made a plot to steal the blessing from Esau. So they are going to steal this blessing. Remember, the blessing is a legal right, a legal document that ensures that Esau would own everything and be the master. It's not the same as the birthright, but it is very similar. So, let's go ahead and read. Chapter 27, verse 18 to the end. So he went to his father and said, "My father." He said, "Here am I. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you have told me. Now sit up and eat of my game that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And he answered, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near to him and he ate and brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son as the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of the heavens and the fatness of the earth and the plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from his presence of Isaac, his father, Esau, his brother, came in from hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father and said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." And his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" And he answered, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau." Then Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him? Yes, he shall be blessed." As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me even also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing." Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times." He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. Then he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Isaac answered and said to Esau, behold, I have made him lord over you and all his brothers. I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me even also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of the heaven. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. But the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, behold, your brother Esau comforts himself about you by planning to kill you. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Rise and flee to Laban, my brother in Haran, and stay with him a while until your brother's fury turns, until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you back from there. Why should I be bereft of you both in one day? Then Rebekah said to Isaac, I loathe my life because of the Hittite women. If Jacob marries one of the Hittite women like these, one of the women of the land, what good will my life be to me? May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. As we approach the text, just a couple reminders. This is an incredibly weird story to us, and that's okay. You're allowed to read parts of the Bible and go, huh, that's weird. This is one of those times. You're allowed to do that. This particular story, Jacob has swindled his brother Esau. Jacob's name, as you remember, means liar or deceiver. And so there's that line in there, is he not rightly named Jacob, for he has Jacobed me. That's how it reads in Hebrew. He repeats his name. He is living up to the name that he was given as a child, which, by the way, think through what you name your kids and what nicknames you give people. Like, they live up to the names you call them. So if you call somebody some goofy nickname, they're probably going to act goofy and have a weird nickname that fits them. So, and yes, I'm well aware of the names I call my children. Just, I love those names. They're on purpose. So Rebecca has this zeal here in this story to put her son over Esau. If you remember, we talked about last week how this reminds us of Sarah looking at the blessing and promise of God and saying, I don't believe that that's going to happen the way he said it is, so I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to try to make this blessing come about on my own, and I'm going to intervene and force this blessing. And if you remember, Sarah has the same moment when she says, perhaps through my servant Hagar will I have a son. Perhaps through Hagar I will have a son. And she goes, she tells her husband to go have Hagar, get Hagar pregnant, and then she'll have a son. This is a repetition of the same failing of Sarah, the same denial of God's promise in this chapter with Rebekah. This should not surprise us, as Isaac pretty much lives the exact same life as Abraham. He has gone to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, and dealt with him. He has been granted material wealth, even though he doesn't deserve it. He has been given land, even though he didn't earn it. He has been blessed by God, both materially and spiritually, not by anything of his own doing, but because God is faithful to those whom he says he is faithful to. And this is incredible faithfulness here in this story. If you remember, when Jacob and Esau are born, Rebekah is given a prophecy that the older will serve the younger. The older is Esau, the younger is Jacob. Now, they are twins. They were born at the same time. One came out before the other one, and one was grabbing the heel of the one who came out. This is split seconds difference. This is not an age thing. This is split second difference. This is a providence thing. They're fighting in the womb, probably over who would come out first. They're fighting in the womb, probably over who would be first. I imagine their entire life has been, who's first? Who's first? Me, you, Isaac. You can imagine Isaac and Esau wrestling for their daddy's affections. Isaac and Esau wrestling for daddy's affections at a young age. Esau excels at getting daddy's attention. Jacob, not getting Isaac's attention, gets Rebekah's attention. Rebekah dotes on her boy, teaches him to cook. He's an indoor boy. Esau's an outdoor boy. Esau's playing in mud. Jacob's painting pictures. Also well aware of the irony of your pastor. When given the opportunity to trust in the righteousness of Christ and the blessing of God's presence, and the opportunity to deceive and make things go our own way, or ensure that we get what God has promised, when we strive to ensure that we will accomplish what we need to accomplish, always trust the righteousness of Christ over your own works. Always trust the righteousness of Christ over your own works. If you trust your own works, you will take the blessing that God is going to give and turn it into a curse, which is exactly what we see in this story. Rebekah strives to take the blessing and encourage her son to steal this blessing, and you see that there in verses 14 through 16. It's her plan. The only objection, now Jacob's at fault, don't get me wrong, Jacob is guilty. The only objection Jacob makes is, what if we get caught? I'm smooth-skinned, and Esau is like a goat. And she says, don't worry, we'll put goat skins on you. And when Isaac feels, that's a hairy man. Can we just see this dramatic unfolding here? This is a man who is like a beast of the earth. This is a man who is like a beast of the field. He is a man who should be drawing your attention to Genesis chapter 2 and the instruction God gives Adam and Eve in chapter 1 and 2 to rule over the beasts of the field. And in chapter 3, how that is flipped and the serpent, the beast, rules over Adam and Eve. This is a man who qualifies in that distinction. He is a beast. He's a monster. Jacob here, to secure his own blessing, submits to his mother's will, and in verse 18 goes into his father, says, my father, here I am. Who are you, my son? So note, Jacob does not identify himself at first. He's trying to trick. So just, I want you to put yourself in this setting. You're in some sort of enclosure, whether it's a pop-up tent or a small makeshift building. It's an enclosure that gets taken down and put up. But it's solid. And he walks into the room And Isaac is sitting, maybe in his favorite chair. Let's imagine it's his favorite chair. So if you imagine your home growing up, this is the adult's favorite chair in the room. They're sitting in the chair, and Jacob comes into the room and sees Isaac and says, "My father." "Dad," what he says. And Isaac responds, "Who are you?" So you know that he's already trying to disguise his voice. He's already trying to disguise himself. I mean, if you've been around brothers who are blind, you know that they have pretty decent hearing. They can usually identify where you are in a room, who you are, and who said what. They've got incredible recall because they've lost one sense. They make up for it by paying really close attention to the others. So Isaac here goes, "Who are you?" Jacob is already working to try and hide his identity. Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game that your soul may bless me." So let's do this quick, Dad. Right, that's what he says. "I'm Esau. Let's get this over with quickly." There is no time when you begin a lie. There is no time for you to rest. The adversary will make you pace yourself at lightning paces to cover your own sin. And you will begin to move faster and faster as the lie overtakes you. So he speeds it up, sit up so I can give you this game and you may eat of it and bless me. That's the contract, by the way. He's bringing the food. They're going to ratify the contract over a meal. Meals, very important in the Bible. I'm not sure why God loves to eat so much, but for some reason, these are critically important and meals are vastly important. So he sits down and he begins to eat, or he tries to rush him into eating. But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you found it so quickly, my son?" So here's the second opportunity for Jacob to be faithful. Here's the second. The first opportunity was when he walked in the room. Second opportunity right here. "How is it you found it so quickly?" "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Please, brothers and sisters, learn from this story not to compound your sin by blaming God for it. The Lord your God. He throws God under the bus. God is involved in this sin that I am committing against my family. This man does not know the danger that he is doing. Surely. Verse 21, "Then Isaac said to Jacob, 'Please come near me that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really Esau, my son, or not.'" At this point, he's got this last chance to tell his dad everything. "Dad, no, I'm not Esau. I was trying to trick you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I sought the blessing myself." He has every opportunity to come clean here. And he instead comes forward. "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are hands of Esau." So this is the rationalization against maybe Esau has a cold. Maybe something's wrong with Esau's voice, because this feels like goat skin. And Esau's a beast. And I want to give the beast rule over the people. I want to give the beast rule over the people. So he puts his hands on him. He says, "This is him." He didn't recognize him. And he did not recognize him because the hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him and he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" Number four, opportunity for Jacob to come clean to his dad. "Are you really my son Esau?" Look at what he says. He answered, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you. So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him the wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near and kiss me, my son. So he brings the Jacob brings the deception into his father, and he stands before his dad, and note the things that happen here. First, he's given opportunity after opportunity to come clean. He could easily have gone to his dad and said, Dad, I heard you're going to give Esau the blessing. I've already got the birthright because Esau gave it to me. But Dad, this is not... Please, when you bless him, reserve a blessing for me. There could have been some gracious way for Isaac to give Jacob and Esau blessings. Then nowhere in the Hebrew Bible does it say that you give a blessing only to your oldest son. Nowhere. It's not in there. The oldest son is given charge of the family by culture. And he is told to lead the family, and to provide for the family, and to direct the family. And often, this was because the families lived in community together, and they needed one to lead. So the oldest son would be the one who would get the inheritance to be able to dish it out to the rest of the brothers and sisters, assuming that he would be good to them, because he's their brother. This was common practice in Canaan to not divide your inheritance. It becomes common practice in Israel to have one son receiving all the inheritance. Indeed, it becomes so common that we see in the book of Ruth that there is an argument over inheritance from an oldest child who refuses to take root because he doesn't want to share his inheritance. So, the Bible, instead, teaches this graceful responsibility that siblings are to have to one another, that family are to take care of one another, that the people of Israel are to provide for one another, that the people of God are to be taking care of one another. Indeed, the church is the same way. We are to be united together, taking care of one another. Jacob has every opportunity to talk to his father, but note what he does. He lies, claims to be Esau, and note the emphasis. I am Esau, your firstborn. He disregards any opportunity to repent and to stand before his father in integrity and trust that the Lord is going to provide. He claims the blessing by his own craftiness. He claims the blessing by his own craftiness, and this will lead him into years of trouble. Years of trouble. Not weeks, not days, not moments. Years of trouble will now be his lot. He disguises himself to look and feel and even taste like Esau. He solidifies the deception over a meal, and he even invokes the Lord's name. So he invokes the Lord's covenant, he invokes the Lord's name, he invokes the Lord's means of ratifying a covenant, all in the name of deception. This is not a good story. This is not a story that you should read and go, I want to be like Jacob. No. This is not a story that you should read and go, I want to be like Isaac, either. So look at what Isaac says here in this blessing he gives to Jacob. He says here at this blessing in verse 26, Isaac said to his son, come near me, and my son, and kiss me. And he comes near him and he kisses him, and Isaac smells the smell of his garments and blesses him and says, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. Now, watch this. May the God of heaven give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth. So gives him the land and the plenty and the wine. So he gives him the land. He gives him the land. He says, let people serve you and nations bow down to you. He gives them people. Gives them the people. So he gives them the land, he gives them the people. He says, be lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. And then he gives them authority. He gives them the land, he gives them the people, and he gives them the authority. Do you remember what God gave Abraham and the sons of Abraham? The land, people, and authority. And for what purpose? That the nations of the world would be blessed through your seed. Seed. The seed being Jesus Christ, the presence of God abiding in the hearts of believers. Isaac claims to hand the beast the blessings of the Lord. Claims to hand Esau the nation. Claims to hand Esau Israel. And note what he does. Nowhere in there is there room for Jacob. This blessing is an inherent curse on the other son. This is not a blessing to the nation. What he just did was bless one son and curse another. Because he has reserved nothing for Jacob. There is no comment about him taking care of his brothers or being kind. There is no comment over the fruit of the land being his offsprings and his families. There is no comment on blessing of the nations. There is only Esau and Esau's blessing. Indeed, in this story, we don't want to be Jacob and we don't want to be Isaac. Both are trying to steal the blessing. Perhaps we want to be Esau. You already know the answer to that is no, but let's go ahead and look that way. As soon as Isaac had finished the blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, Esau, his brother, came in from hunting. The Hebrew here indicates that they literally, he goes out one door, the other one comes in. It's whoop. It's a moment, a split second, where Jacob gets away. And Esau comes in and he prepared delicious food. He brought to his father and he says to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's game that you may bless me. His father, Isaac, said to him, who are you? Now, all of a sudden it gets serious. That's the attitude Esau walks in with. Woohoo! I won! I'm first. Same fight they've been having since they were babies. Walks in, Isaac, who are you? I'm your son, your firstborn, Esau. Then Isaac trembled violently and said, who is it that hunted game and brought it to me and I ate it all before you came and I have blessed him? Yes, he shall be blessed. Esau then hears that he cries out exceedingly to his father, bless me also, O my father. But he said, your brother came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has Jacob me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, he's taken away my blessing. Now first, remember that first story. Jacob didn't do anything to you. You walked up and said, I'm hungry and I want stew. And in arrogance and pride, handed off your birthright for some food. Jacob didn't do anything to you. You did it yourself. It was your own sin that caused that rejection of God's plan and your rejection of God's providence. It was your own sin that did that, Esau. Our sin will come back to get us. Your own sin will come back to hit you. Pleasure for a moment turns to gravel in the stomach. I imagine that the food that Isaac has just so greatly enjoyed is now churning in his stomach as he has rejected the blessing of God to hand his own blessing to Esau. Esau, he has cursed me. He has taken my birthright, and behold, now he's taken my blessing. Have you not reserved a blessing for me? Isaac answered to Esau, behold, I made him lord over you and all his brothers. I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you? He says, no, I gave him everything thinking it was you. I didn't save anything for the rest of my kids. I don't want to be that kind of dad. I don't want to be that kind of friend. Much less father. Who doesn't reserve love and blessing and kindness for his own kids, but instead hands it all to a favorite. That is wicked. Wicked behavior. And then Esau, he's no better. We don't want to be Jacob. We don't want to be Isaac. We certainly don't want to be Esau. Esau, who now begs for a blessing from the man who he knew was going to do that. He knew what his dad was going to give him. And he knew it was going to be lord over your brothers and rule and conquer and they'll be slaves. He knew that. And he didn't stand up for that or write or anything. He knew, and yet he was going to receive it. I don't want to be Esau. Indeed, the message of Esau, according to the book of Hebrews, is that there comes a point at which repentance is no longer granted. There comes a point at which you're just done. When my children were young, we had this saying, well, they're still young, I mean, they're 9, 5, 7, and 3. So when my children were now, we use a phrase with them sometimes, which is the time for second chances has passed. The time for second chances has passed. There will come a day when there is not an opportunity for you to repent. There will come a day when the sin that you are clinging to, that you are saying, I am God and he is not, there will come a day when that is no longer allowable. When punishment will land on this earth, when you will not be open to receive the blessing of God, the presence of God himself. There will come a day for everyone. And believers, brothers and sisters, we apply that to people who do not know the Lord. I know. And it is rightly applied to those who do not know the Lord. But there is an additional warning that God sometimes takes people home early. Many of you have fallen asleep because of this behavior. As Paul's words to the Corinthians, because they were disobeying and misusing the things of God. Esau's lesson to us is that sometimes the time for second chances has passed. And you need to take advantage of the Lord's willingness to forgive now. Seek the Lord while he may be found is what the prophet Isaiah says. Seek the Lord while he may be found, for he is there, present and waiting. And his arm is not too far from you, and his ears are not too dull to hear you. He hears you, and he will answer. Seek the Lord now while he may be found, for there will come a day when you are not able to. Woe to those who seek glory for themselves. Woe to those who seek glory for themselves. Esau says to his father, do you have a blessing for me? And he lifts up his voice and weeps, and Isaac gives him a blessing, which is really a curse, because he has no blessing to give him. This is what was reserved for Jacob. And the tables have been flipped. So he says, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of the heaven on high. So you don't get any land. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. You don't get any authority. You don't get any people. That's absent. But when you grow restless, you will break his yoke from your neck. Here's what you get: to rebel. This is awful. Isaac, Jacob, Esau, there is not a redemptive character in this story save one: the Lord. That's it. And we don't get to be him. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." But the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Behold, your brother Esau comforts himself about you by planning to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to Laban, my brother in Haran, and stay with him for a while until your brother's fury turns away, till your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereft of you both in one day?" So Jacob and Rebekah seek the blessing. Esau seeks a second blessing and is turned away by an almost cruel, legally binding blessing that is certain death to him. And the blessing becomes a curse. Esau pleads that God would, that Isaac would bless him, and he seeks repentance, but it's not granted. Rebekah, then at the end of the story, maybe there's hope here. She goes and she says, "Jacob, run away to Laban. I don't want to lose my youngest son. My son, my favorite son. I don't want to lose him. Jacob lives." Yay! Away from his mother, who she didn't want to lose. In striving to keep her youngest son, in striving to obtain the blessing of God by her own doing and her own hand, in striving to do that, she loses him. She loses him. She took the blessing of God and instead of trusting God for the blessing, turned it into a curse. This is what happens when we try to do righteousness on our own. We take the blessing of God and we turn it into a curse. Trusting in your own strength, Rebekah loses her son and is left in bitter circumstance with Esau and his two Hittite wives who give them trouble, as we saw back in chapter 26. Rebekah loses her son. Esau has lost everything and now gets renamed to Red Angry Bitter Man. That's literally his name, Red Angry. That's it. Edom means Red Angry. Angry. He becomes named Angry, as he has already been named Hairy Angry. He's now Red Angry. Isaac is blind, old, and the rightful blessing of his land is gone. The rightful possessor of his land, who was going to take care of his family, is now hiding with his uncle Laban, away from him. All of them sought their own blessing. All of them lost it. All of them have a curse. Jacob, likewise, is forced to go live in a foreign land and serve his uncle as a shepherd slash indentured servant for years, and we're going to see him get tricked by his uncle, get Jacobed by his uncle over and over and over. And his uncle is going to take advantage of him. He's going to have a hard road. So difficult is this road going to be that he never walks a straight path in life He never stands upright in life until God breaks his hip. Then the upright man has to limp the rest of his life. Jacob has one hope. One hope. We have one hope. And that is that the actions and love and mercy of God do not depend on the actions and love and mercy of man. The actions of God and the mercy and love of God are not dependent on us to get it right. When we try to get it right, we take blessing and we turn it into cursing. But when God arrives, he takes curse upon himself in Jesus Christ. He takes the curse upon himself, hanging himself on a cursed tree, that you would receive the blessing. And unlike Isaac and Esau and Jacob, who were out for their own gain, and even Rebekah, who were out for their own gain, Jesus dies taking your sin and your shame upon himself, and then takes his blessing, his birthright, as the rightful Son of God, heir to the throne of the kingdom of heaven, and hands it to you. And goes, you are fellow heirs. No longer do I call you slaves and servants. You are now my children and my brothers. You are now my fellow heirs of the kingdom of God. There is one place, one redeeming character in this story, and that's the Lord God himself. We are all Jacob's, Esau's, Isaac's, and Rebekah's. And our only hope is to trust in his redeeming glory and his redeeming power, that he would make a liar into one who wrestles with God and make us his.